So how do you think we're going to deal with that? Because I agree. I think the lights are coming on at an alarming rate, notwithstanding the solar activity and everything else that's sort of flooding us right now. There's going to be a sort of evolve, or you're going to be in a little bit of trouble kind of thing, isn't there?
Evolve or
But what,
die, yeah.
yeah, you said that before. How do you see it playing out with sort of the solar events and things? Because I know Ra had said that we entered 4D in 2012.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that, Aaron, because I'm just getting into the Law of One series, and I know you're kind of more of an expert. I'm sure you've read it more than once. He mentions in the very first channelings in 1981 that we are in the harvest. So, like, he made it seem like it was happening then already. He also mentions the planet moving into fourth density consciousness. He says in about 30 years. So I'm trying to do the math, and I was thinking that that was around like 2012. So that was just kind of a big year in general, was 2012. And that was when our planet was supposed to move into fourth density consciousness. So I was just going to ask you, like, is a harvest something that you think takes a long time? Is it something that already happened, or is it something that's still taking place right now? Because this is what seems like the time. This is what seems like the Great Awakening.
Yeah, interesting questions. In the Law of One, the harvest is so like when Ross says the harvest has begun, he means that all the souls from higher densities who want to wander on planet Earth, who want to be a part of the transition to fourth density and help it go in the positive direction, they would have had to incarnate, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years before the actual switch happens, so that they can be like a fully functional adult on the planet with lots of spiritual development, who can then actually play a part in the planetary transition, which all of us here are doing, right? So if we were born on 2012, we're going to be, it's going to be 2032 before we're of any real use, spiritually speaking, because we're still developing at that age, right? So it's souls are like timing it, like the timing window is important, which I think if we're all here right now, we can all say our souls nailed the timing for sure.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's so interesting, and that really resonates. Like, again, David was born that year that they were doing those raw channelings. So if that's what he means, like, the harvest is now, us souls are coming in the 80s and early 90s to be of this. I don't know if you agree with this statement, the Kundalini awakening. Do you think that that can happen at any time? Because it seems like around like age 30 or 40 is when it kind of peaks for a lot of people from some of the readings that I've done.
Yeah, it's now that our planet is technically in a fourth density frequency range, then fourth density correlates to the heart chakra, the green ray energy center. And Kundalini energy really is just green ray energy. But it's the heart chakra, which the average human being doesn't have an activation. Unless they begin to really develop a sense of spirituality or morality or even religion, the green ray can start to open as someone learns to practice love and forgiveness and spiritual virtues. Other than that, you're not going to awaken that chakra because that's all it does. It's just the chakra of unity with others and shared being with all and unconditional acceptance, right? That's all the heart does. So unless you're on a spiritual path, you're not going to activate that chakra. And it's not even just, can I get it to activate every so often when I'm truly loving someone? But it's like, can I open it and keep it open and actually live with love imbued into my color of consciousness permanently? Kundalini comes into activation when someone is putting that kind of demand on it. When you're putting that kind of demand on Kundalini to awaken, hey, I need more love energy in here because I'm trying to love things a lot. She awakens right away. So it's really just a kind of neurobiological phenomenon that is a response to the charge that is being built up in the energy centers. If enough charge builds up in the root chakra, it will eventually have to discharge, just like a lightning bolt does with a cloud in the earth, right? And it does so by shooting it out of the crown chakra. And we call that a Kundalini awakening, most of us. We think that's what it is. But that's just one little component of the actual process of a Kundalini ascension, right? The real process is we're trying to take that energy higher up the chakras systematically from energy center to energy center. And we do that by purifying those parts of us that that energy center represents. So once Kundalini is awakened and you're like, okay, I want to fully open my green ray, my heart chakra, then you got to start really practicing love and forgiveness and service to others and things like that to open that chakra. There's going to be parts of you that are in resistance to being of service to others still. There's going to be people you judge from your past that you need to forgive. And so you do that, the green ray is not all the way on yet, right? Once you've done that, next you start thinking about authentic expression. Where am I withholding my truest self? Where am I not being honest with myself about things? How can I be more authentic and radiant in my nature? Those are throat chakra issues, right? So now you work through those kinds of catalysts. So as this process goes on for years and years and years, you'll know where Kundalini is in your energy centers based on what your sort of primary spiritual catalysts are at the time. And that's the only real way one can measure whether or not they've actually taken Kundalini all the way to the crown, which is like the completion of that full journey. And if one does that, they technically become a fourth density being in this lifetime. And there have been a number of beings who have accomplished this. You prayed to a bunch of them before we started. Christ, Buddha, Krishna, Yogananda, Babaji, Maharaji, we could go on and on. These were fully crystallized beings, meaning they made it through all seven. They raised Kundalini through all seven energy centers and reached that kind of singularity state of total God consciousness. You know, that's the spectrum that's available to all of us right now in this life. And when you know that that's sort of the game you're playing, to me, I think it just inspires tremendous desire to play the game well.
One thing I struggle with, maybe it's the wrong terminology. One thing I'm curious about is, it gets thrown around a lot in the enlightened community, I guess, is this new earth split. And some say that some of Dolores Cannon's narrative teachings, conversations dictate, and this could have shifted, but that there will be a visible split of some kind. And others say that it will be much more emergent than that, and much more inclusive. And I don't think any of us will really fully know that until we go through it. But what's your viewpoint on that? Do you think there will be, because there's so much vitriol, negative, misaligned energy that people are still acting out with. So what do you think is going to happen in this sort of predicted split?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I do actually think that that is somewhat accurate. But it would sound counterintuitive to one with a spiritual mindset of like, oh, that can't be how the universe works. But it actually kind of is. And the Law of One explains why really well, because it says that every planet, every person, every particle, everything has to have a charge one way or the other, positive or negative. The whole universe is literally nothing but electromagnetic energy. Electro-positive, magnetic-negative. So there's just those two polarities. So everything in the universe has to be polarized to exist in the polarized universe. So polarity is something that most, you know, human beings don't have any awareness of, right? The pair of opposites that you can see in everything, masculine, feminine, heat and cold. We could go on and on. When you start becoming aware of polarity, then you start to actually become more aware of the choice that is available between the two polarities. And the Law of One again says the positive polarity is the service to others path. The negative polarity is the service to self path. So just as it comes to a point that every individual person will have to fully choose one of those two polarities before they can exit this realm of consciousness and go to the fourth density from third to fourth, you have to choose your polarity. And that's kind of like the only prerequisite happening here is polarity choosing. So first of all, when you know that, then you have a great incentive to make spirituality an important part of your life, right? But it also allows you to see why evil and the dark side operates the way that it does and what it's going to take from us to light up the darkness on our planet. And that is that there is a splitting off of positive from negative, and a cleaning out of all that is negative. slowly over time, not all at once, but it, in the grand scheme, it'll probably happen pretty quick, I think. But like, to become a positively polarized planet means you've removed all the negative polarity, right? And so the good news is actually that the Law of One says the source doesn't need you to be 100% service to others and 0% service to self. It just needs you to be 51% service to others and 49% service to self. So just a 2 degrees difference, and the universe says, okay, you can graduate and go to fourth density. There are some implications on how well you score, by the way, but what's important is that you graduate just at 51%. That sounds not that challenging, and in one sense it's not, but the negative polarities graduation has to be 95% or more negatively polarized. You're like, whoa, that sounds way harder than the service to others path. And technically it is, like mathematically, but the reason that they're, the Law of One says those are both equally tough test scores to get in terms of polarity. The 51% positive is just as hard as 95% negative. And that's because we live on a pretty damn negative planet. Yeah. The planet itself is extremely negative in a lot of polarizing ways. So it's easy to go negative. We have an ego built into our brain, which is a kind of service to self taskmaster, always beckoning us to take from others and keep things for ourselves and all the separation stuff. So we have a service to self pilot in our brain talking to us all the time. And the planet itself has a ton of corruption on it right now. So it's like, well, if you can't beat them, join them, right? It's putting consciousness in a tough spot. So you're only going to go towards the light if you want it with all your heart, if you want it more than anything, because the negative is so heavy and dense on this planet that if you don't want truth really bad, you're just going to get kind of swallowed up into that black hole of insanity and separation. And boy, howdy, isn't that what we see happening in the social stratosphere these days in the culture? Just an unraveling of psychology right before our eyes in so many ways, not just on one side or the other, but yeah, it's like this is the result of a really fast ascension, is you're going to see really kind of intense stuff like that manifesting.
As we start vibrating into this fourth density way of being, I know that when you're in the green ray and you're in that heart space, it is easy and you are vulnerable to be pulled back in through fear, because it's got such a, you know, deep, you know, grip on us. And I think that that's what's happening with this whole Matrix 3D system at this time. It just, it's anchoring us in, because we've been part of the system so long, and so many of our patterns exist within the system. Do you think that we have to actively unplug from it, or do you think it's just something that's going to fall away naturally as we're able to start raising our consciousness and vibrating in that 4D? Because I know that you've talked about like common law and things like that. So do you think it's important to still, you know, be trying to get our like legal birth certificates and like practicing our rights and all that side of things? Or do you think that consciousness is just all we need to focus on and the rest of it will kind of just fall away?
I love this question. When we talk about spiritual growth, the conversation of when have you truly, you know, healed something or transcended something, the conversation doesn't end until we get to the point of your actions in life. Who you are being in the world is the greatest indication of your spiritual progress. So you can't just be like, well, I learned a concept that my thoughts are illusions or whatever, so I don't need to work on my mind anymore because I heard that it's an illusion, right? And then you're acting out all these insane thoughts all day long. It's like you so believe in those illusions, you don't even realize how much you believe in them. So better to just be humble and start practicing radical surrender and forgiveness and, you know, the real tough stuff that people don't want to do as much. Really want to take ayahuasca a bunch and like anything else I can do, but to just really sit with emotions and past pain and traumas and just love the heck out of it and forgive it over and over again. That's the grind of spiritual growth. But when, as we do that, we're getting into the heart, right? And if fourth density consciousness means anything, it just means getting into your heart, or literally activating your heart, right? Your heart chakra, the green ray. That's why it's the fourth chakra. It's the representation of the fourth density. We have all the seven densities within us. We're the microcosm of the macrocosm, right? But they're like the densities in miniature for the individual. And so the densities are like the chakras of the universe. So they're one, they're connected. So as each one of us gets into our heart, starts to live from the heart, live from love and unity and service to others, the planet's energy field vibrates closer to that fourth density frequency, and we keep pushing up the vibration of the planet. So ultimately, yes, the most important thing any of us can do to be of service is to work on our own spiritual development, even more than getting someone's status corrected and getting them out of the IRS tax system or whatever. As helpful as those things are, getting people out of their ego is a way huger benefit to humanity, because all of the insanity we see is because of the human ego running rampant on the planet. I mean, the ego is that which creates illusions, right? Think about how many illusions are cropping up these days in terms of like deep fakes and AI stuff. And it's like, you hardly even know what's real anymore when you watch a video. I've seen videos of people faking like Joe Rogan ads with AI, where it's totally a computer simulation of him and the video simulation, but it's like indistinguishable from reality. And it's like Joe Rogan trying to sell dick pills or something on TikTok. You're like, oh yeah, I bet Joe Rogan did an ad for dick pills on TikTok. No, it's a Chinese company making a deep fake AI. And you're like, you would have never known he didn't, that wasn't really him saying that. So even in a societal sense, we see these massive projections of our illusions in our mind. They're getting out of control and they're running everything. The whole legal system is fake. The whole monetary system is fake. It's all based on fraud. It's all projections of the human ego. So yeah, don't get it twisted that transcending your ego is the best help you can give this planet. But beyond that, I think it's not that we have to, it's that it happens as a natural consequence, that you can't be free up here and in here and then be bound out here everywhere. It's such an incongruency. It's such a mismatch, right? To be living like a free divine spiritual being, but being a total debt slave on the external, and like not being able to truly take your freedom back in all dimensions and time. So it just will happen in you that you'll want to begin expressing your inner state through your outer life. You want to begin expressing the freedom you know is true of you. And that's why when I teach common law, I always say freedom is an inner state of being that happens from the inside out. A document doesn't give you freedom. Learning how to write legal code won't give you freedom. There's people doing that stuff that still feel like a slave in their heart. They still have this illusion of authority over them and stuff, and they live like that. And they keep bending the knee to the system, right? The system is just human consciousness's collective ego. The systems we all live under right now, right? So we're only enslaved by our own ego. The same story all over again, but in a planetary sense now. So the key is each one of us wakes up to this truth. The planet keeps tipping more towards fourth density, and it's kind of like popcorn in a microwave, right? The hotter the temperature gets, the more kernels pop. And I think these Kundalini awakenings we're seeing happen like crazy these days in the spiritual community is indicative of the, you know, energetic temperature going up on the planet. And I think we're going to keep seeing a lot of Kundalini awakenings as the future goes on, because it's eventually going to be like a kind of spiritual puberty that everybody has to go through. And in 1,000 years, kids will be going through it when they're like 5, you know. It's going to keep going backwards like that until eventually it's just the state everyone's born in, fully awakened, you know, heart chakra, and then we're true color green. So it's a beautiful journey. It's a beautiful transformation and evolution. And when you see it that way, to me, it's like, ooh, I so want to be involved in that, right? In the best way possible.
Yeah. Yeah, we totally agree.